even some from Daniel. As we start again, I hate to label it all in the same part, but we're talking about justice because we were in the 28th chapter of Isaiah when he said, Isaiah said, "Therefore said the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place." So what he's talking about here, as the justice of God comes forth, and what justice is conformity to a rule or standard. But we know that some haven't conformed to the standard of Jesus Christ or to the rule of God. And God says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in which a lot hadn't done. They have gained the religion of Christianity, but it's only a profession, outward show. It's honoring God with their mouth, with their hearts being far from it. They hadn't been converted. They hadn't repented of what they're doing. They're just adding Christ to what they're doing without a change. And if he's a foundational stone, Paul said he laid the foundation and no other man can build upon that foundation. Be careful what you build upon that foundation, because no other foundation can be laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. So you have to build with righteousness, with truth, with justice, with mercy. Those things he said in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, you know what's required of you to do justly, to love mercy, to do good, to walk uprightly with the Lord your God. Now, sometimes we have God comes along, and that's what we were studying yesterday about Solomon. We see a lot of injustice in the world, a lot of injustice, and sometimes God may not do justice to a person. It's like, I'm not looking for justice from God. I really wouldn't want justice from God. I would rather mercy from God, because I know I've done things, consequences of things that would bring forth death penalty. We all sin. So that's why he tells us to be as Jesus Christ, that we should love mercy and show mercy. Now remember, in judgment, with what measure you measure shall be measured unto you. That's why when he says, judge ye not, he meaning, watch the standard or the rule of judgment or the measure of judgment you use. Same with the law of sowing and reaping, because whatever standard you use to judge other people, that's going to be the standard by which God judges you. And if you're not very merciful, you can look for God not being merciful unto you. That's why David asked for mercy from God. It's one thing about mankind is not very merciful. People are not very, very merciful, and that's why God has to command us, tell us to be merciful, so we could be more like our Heavenly Father. We see in the book of Romans where some people would be working unrighteously. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's why in the book of Revelation, God has it within the church, within the people of God, there are those that would be unrighteous. Those are the ones that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And we've seen a good bit of that in the last 5 or 6 years. We also see those that are unjust. And he says, he that is unjust, let him remain unjust. Because we have to come to Jesus Christ to be justified in him. And once we're justified in him and by him and through him, we walk in that way, and we bring forth, we walk forth in his likeness and in his image and in his way. But those of us that do not conform to that image and likeness and as are not changed by Jesus Christ, a change by His Word and His Spirit dwelling in us, you will remain unjust. You'll remain the way you are. And you'll, the judgment, he says, verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. So this is continually pounding until God destroys you from the earth, until we are destroyed, the wicked, the unjust. We see behind this pandemic that we've had, now we see another viral infection coming behind it, that the variant of that that's even worse than the first strain. We see in the middle, in the West, in the middle West, the Midwest, and in parts of Canada, where they're being struck by drought. They're being struck by drought and fire. We see that the economy is booming, so a lot of people go enjoy prosperity or whatever. But we see joblessness still increasing, and that joblessness is going on. But we see injustice and corruption in the land. It's gaining and growing. We're looking at the storms and the weather, different weather patterns. So that's why when Jesus was telling his people that it was going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquake in various of places and so many calamities, after one thing after another, and it's going to happen within this nation, it's going to happen within all nations, within the earth, that's God bringing his judgment. As we look at Revelation, as he's pouring the vials, sometimes it says the vials of wrath. In some places it says the bowls of wrath. When he opens certain seals of the Bible, in other words, during different times, he brings forth different judgments upon the earth. And he's bringing judgment upon the house of God, with the churches, with the division. We see those divisions within the Southern Baptist Church. And we see a lot of people leaving out of that. And the president that they elected, that Southern Baptist elected, that last week it was in the paper or something, where he had plagiarized some other minister's sermon or whatever. Even though he had permission, he should have quoted or labeled it that he was preaching some other man's sermon or whatever. But you have to start walking or have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's bringing darkness or more darkness upon the earth. And for you to walk in the light as he's in the light, we have to be converted, our sins blotted out. We have to be gaining righteousness in Christ Jesus and walking in him. And so there's no non-justice in God. Sometimes God doesn't, he has mercy, or sometimes that act of punishment may take a long time coming, but there's not injustice with God. So we were speaking about Solomon yesterday, that he went into the place of worship and what he saw going on in the place of worship. But doing my morning reading this morning, I think it entailed 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, 1 Kings, and I was reading the 10th and 12th verse. And this one, Solomon had prayed to the Lord, and he was just becoming king. And it says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thine servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child, and I know not how to come in and go out. And thy servant is in the midst of thine people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thine servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thine so great a people. So we seek to carry out judgment. We have to have the ability to discern good and bad. We have to have an understanding from God. So we can't make proper judgments or render proper decisions without a relationship with God and without God giving us the ability to do these things and the heart to do them. And that's why he says he was going to give us a new heart. He was going to write those laws upon that heart. And that we would grow in the knowledge and understanding of him. And Solomon realized that he lacked these things and that he needed that from God. And that's what he was praying to God. And that's what I consistently tell y'all. Y'all should be praying to God in the areas where you're lacking. And I'm always praying for wisdom from God. That's what the book of James says. Any of you lack wisdom, ask of God who give it liberally and upbraid it not. Solomon continued to pray and he says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither had asked for riches for thyself, nor asked for the life of thine enemies, that thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither that shall be any arise after thee like unto thee. And I have also given thee riches and wealth. So he gave him the ability to bring forth justice. And I told you, he was able to administrate justice between his people, among his people. Right after then, we've seen a demonstration of this in the 17th verse when the two women came unto him with the baby and saying that one overlaid their baby and the two harlots came to him. And the woman said, this was my baby. And the other one said, this was her baby. And Solomon asked for a sword to divide the baby. And he knew the natural affections of the real mother would not allow that to happen. When the woman that said, yes, divide him, cut him in half. Well, he said, give it to the other woman. He says, this is the mother, because no mother would want that to happen to her child. So the other woman was just vindictive and evil. And I don't know what they would have done to her for lying about it or whatever. But his wisdom went abroad after that demonstration there. In the 28th verse, though, we see all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. That's what should be in us, the ability to do judgment. The ability to have a discerning heart and to work judgment. Now Solomon failed in this in verse 14, just like a whole lot of us. That's why I say judgment will come unto a lot of us, and it will fall upon a lot of us because we know to do good. Verse 13 says, and I also have given thou a wise heart, and that wasn't any gonna be any kings like him. He says, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, well, then I will lengthen thy days. So we know Solomon was disobedient and didn't follow that directive to walk in the ways of Christ, to walk in the ways that he should have. He didn't walk in the ways of God. Now, I read to you before we left yesterday the passages in Ecclesiastes about an evil judgment system, Ecclesiastes 4:1-3, and then the passage I read before we left was Ecclesiastes, I think, the 8th chapter, 9-13 verse, and I'm going to go back and kind of break those verses down. The passage in Solomon's thoughts, this passage carries in Solomon's thoughts the use of power by a stern ruler who exercises his governing power. That's in Ecclesiastes 5:8. The way some rulers do it, that had started to happen in this nation with our last president, but we've seen it over the times with Stalin and Hitler and different leaders that had came to rule or rule over the people when they was a tyrannical ruler. Verses 5 through 8, it says, "Whoso keepeth the commandments shall fear no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there's a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of a man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell when it shall be? There is no man that had power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither he had power in the day of death, and there is no discharge that war that shall wickedness deliver those that are given him." Seeing that I quote the right thing here, verse 9. "All that I've seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun, there is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt." Now, Pharaoh was such as that, because with Pharaoh ruling over the children of Israel, by hardening his heart trying to oppress the children of Israel, he caused the death of his own army, he caused the death of his own firstborn, and he caused the death of a great number of Egyptians. But God says he had raised Pharaoh up for that purpose, to show himself great in Pharaoh, to be glorified in Pharaoh. So when justice is not, if we're seeing oppression and tyrannical rulers and injustice in the land, we have to look at God's word that says, obey rulers and those who have authority over you. And then, but God's spirit comes back, just like with the Hebrew midwives or whatever. You remember when Pharaoh gave the order to destroy all the firstborn among the Hebrews, and the midwives didn't? It was God that intervened for the midwives, that Pharaoh didn't kill the midwives, because they was in violation of the king's order. So we have to be able to absorb the consequences of not following the orders of the government when we willfully disobey the government. Remember Daniel, he prayed and the king had issued an edict that no man should offer up prayer to any god during that day. Daniel did contrarywise to the government, and he still prayed during that time. And so that was the reason they thrown Daniel in the lion's den. We see where the Hebrew boys disobeyed the king, and the king had made this golden image and had told them to bow down to that image. And they didn't bow down to that image, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Notice that they didn't rebel or whatever against the consequences. Daniel didn't complain about going in the lion's den. Notice that the Hebrews' voice, it says, we know that God is able to save us, but and so forth, bowing down. So to disobey, you have to accept the consequences of disobedience. They was telling us to get the shot, or whatever. Me and my wife was looking the other night, and they had a man on there that didn't get the shot. But now he was speaking to say, please get the shot. This is a very dangerous thing. You seen that on the news? Him and his wife didn't get the shot in March, but she died from COVID. But now he's saying get the shot. Well, he's not a very good spokesman. Nobody wants you talking about get the shot, you idiot. People had already told you to get the shot. The government had told you to get the shot. So your willful disobedience, you and your wife willfully disobeyed the government, and she died. God saved you. You didn't die during it. We don't know what the consequences of him not taking it. Probably have a pretty large medical bill. We don't know if a lot of that illness involved with COVID, you don't completely get over with. But you have to be willing to accept the consequences of your disobedience. You understand? Now, God intervened to where Daniel wasn't hurt. The lions didn't do Daniel anything. We understand that God contra-intervened with the Hebrew with the Egyptian midwives, so Pharaoh didn't do them anything. So you obey or disobey, but what did Peter say? When they told Peter, well, Pharisee said, well, look, didn't we strictly forbid you to preach in this man's name? And then what Peter says, well, we know whether this be right or wrong or well, but we know it's better to obey God than man. Yep. So where man tells you to contradict God, he doesn't have that right authority. So that authority, God comes in. He turned Jesus Christ over to the wicked Pharisees, and they murdered Jesus. They hung him on a cross. He was innocent, and did he complain? What the song says, he never said a mumbling word. But they were wrong. This was an injustice. Who corrected the injustice? God did. God raised him from the dead because you wasn't right. That's where Satan crossed the line. You murdered an innocent man. But God didn't stop him from doing it. God didn't stop them from doing that because we have to follow the will of God. So there's a time that God, sometime he intervenes, sometime he don't. But we don't know the fine details of God's plan, but we have to be willing to suffer the consequences of what those laws state if we violate laws. You know, the Hebrew boys say, we know God is able to deliver, so, but they didn't know whether he was the deliverer from the fire or not. But they know that it would have been idolatry to bow down and worship. So when you violate the government, make sure that God's driving that, or leading that, just leading you to rebel, or leading you. So, I, this country was built off civil disobedience. So, but when judgment comes, God is to rectify. That's why it says be subject to every ordinance for Christ's sake. Because we can't go around rebelling against authority. God tells the parents how to treat their children or whatever. So the parent have authority over that child or whatever, and that child submit to the parent. But what if that's an abusive parent? You have many tyrannical parents, and they ask the children of things, and a lot of times the children are grown children. You don't realize that's a man or woman you're talking to. But you're trying to use your position of authority as their parent to make them do something for you. A lot of times you try to guilt trip them, make them feel guilty or something. Oh, you're going to do this for your mom, or you're going to do this for your daddy, whatever. Hold on, that's not right. That's an abuse of power. Solomon was viewing these tyrannical things. And God tells the parents about these things. Don't provoke your children to anger. So we have to be aware injustice is being done because sometimes the parent is wrong. And sometimes the government is wrong. The government is placed there to do good and to reward those, to protect those that do good. But when the government becomes tyrannical and evil and corrupt, who judges the government? It is God. So we see where this nation has to be judged because it's why? It's a corrupt, evil justice system, a corrupt, wicked system that has on the books some laws, but it's a hypocritical nation. They don't enforce some of the laws. They're impartial with some. We see social injustices. In other words, they have respect of persons. So thus you have Black Lives Matter. You have all kinds of things. I tell you about the Indian, the natural, what do you call it, Native Americans. They have different things, but they had to pass a law in the legislature about the Asian hate crimes they was having since the pandemic. So if you don't have these social laws or these laws against social injustices, but then you have preachers and teachers and things with Bibles bringing out, oh, you should get rid of these people and destroy these people. Now you have both loads of churches and people protesting abortion clinics and things, blowing up abortion clinics, killing doctors and things or whatever. What didn't he say, thou shalt not kill? So you shouldn't kill the doctor that's killing churches. You don't have that right. That's why the church can't get entangled in this world. It's the same thing with gay rights and everything. You remember I was telling you about same-sex marriage and everything? Okay, the church can't sanction those things. But didn't Jesus Christ tell you to love all men? To do this? So now the Catholic Church trying to pass a law or whatever saying that they're going to deny Biden communion. Because as president, he's going along with the abortion issue. But we see this is, that's one of the reasons the Catholic Church, you remember, that was the church that brought in all Roman rule that rose up against the Christians in the first place. It was through the Roman Catholic Church. That's how we got Sunday worship and everything. Because you can't make a specific rule against an individual or legislate this morality. It has to be God. Because as President of the United States, part of his duty and his job is to protect the rights of every American citizen. So a president, you know, a Christian really shouldn't be president of a nation. You notice that that's why I say it ended with Solomon, because Solomon had no religious prophet or anything leading him or whatever. Because part of your job is to enforce the laws of that nation. And if the laws are perverted, that's why God has to come in and have a new heaven and a new earth, because even the laws are contrary, because society is trying to protect society. The laws that the United States, a lot of the laws that they enacted, it is to protect them, to help people and do a social justice, but it's corrupt because there's no answer that lies with man, that man can't do this. Only God can do it. That's why the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his people can issue these judgments. David would have been an awful fellow to stand under for judgment. He was a hypocrite because David was guilty of the death penalty. When that Nathan was telling him what would have brought the death penalty to him about going with Bathsheba. But the man in David, he was telling David that stole a ewe lamb and ate the other man's lamb. David said, well, this man shall be killed. Well, no, you pervert justice. The penalty was that he restored the lamb fourfold. But since the parable is aimed at you, the penalty actually was adultery, because it was murder, because you killed Uriah and took his wife. And that's why God told you that David, the sword to never leave your house. You're not capable of building the house of God. So we have people in the churches that are men of blood. They like David. They got blood on their hands. God said, well, you can't build the church of God. You can't build the house of God. You're a bloody man. And that's what I was going to preach on yesterday. David with the Moabites and David's life. Because you look at David's life, he's a type and shadow of Christ in some ways. But there's no perfect man. So we see David's flaws, the reason we can't pattern ourselves that man. We can't use no man as an image to follow. We only can use what? Jesus Christ, that perfect image and pattern. Because after studying the book of Job and reading the book of Job, do you realize the book of Job is about justice and injustice in the beginning of the book? And here Job is almost boarding on this way, he's saying God is not being just in what he's doing, and that's why he wants counsel with God. And that's why God came to Job in the way he did. Back to Solomon here. They are way off the beaten path here. But verse 9 poses a circumstance that may prove critical for us. Even now, our rulers in this nation are growing ever more dictatorial, and seems to be no waning of governmental tyranny in sight. And with this last president, he wanted to be dictator. If they'd have gave him four more years, he'd have broke down every law that could have gotten him away from this. We see how he was doing with the Justice Department and everything. And look at the people that was behind this, that was for this. People put people like Stalin and Hitler in power. That's the nature of man. That's why we say the nation can't be rehabilitated. It has to fall. Jesus Christ has to bring in his government and establish his ways, because it's gone to the point like Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's why God says about Babylon. Babylon is fallen and fallen. Even though it still was there, notice that he was telling his people to come out of Babylon because their judgment had been determined. This thought leads Solomon into commenting on a situation in verse 10 that seems to echo the paradox explored in the middle of chapter 7. In verse 10, where Solomon says, "And I saw also the wicked at Bered who have come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." People are famous, are in the churches or different places. They die in infamy. While they were living, people were looking at their lives, but they didn't see the wickedness in their lives, and the people live for themselves. But they will bear it, and Solomon says, this too is vanity. This is all for nothing. It's vanity and vexation of spirits. That's why God says he was going to vex the people. It seems as though they were living for nothing, and that it was just a circular path of living and dying. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for the morrow we die. And that they were oppressing everyone and living in certain ways. And he says this also. So along with that prayer, you remember he told him to give him understanding and a discernment for judgment. But with this understanding and discernment for judgment, he wasn't acting on it, because remember, he had all of these foreign wives. Solomon was committing idolatry. He was going into their temples, worshiping their gods and bowing to their gods, the god Chemosh and Moab. All of these people. He went and married Pharaoh's daughter. So he was doing all that with all the wisdom and knowledge. That's why he was looking at it as vanity and vexation of spirit. Whereas if we are born again, if we under the Spirit of God, life is not vain. It's not vanity and vexation of spirit with us, because life is linear to me. If you're born again, life is linear. It's headed somewhere, that the kingdom of God is coming, that thy kingdom come, and that this won't continue on forever and ever. There's going to be a time when Jesus Christ intervenes in time that once have been will be no more, that God's going to do a strange work and remove and work against his people, the church. He's going to fight against the church. He's going to establish his justice, and you will see these things washed away. Just like what's coming against our former president's organization. I don't know what come of it or whatever, but we know the wickedness that was there, but that promotes others to do evil when the members of people in society to allow this wickedness to go on and it's not being punished. That's why Speaker Pelosi was saying that they have to do something about that January 6th insurrection and all of the people that say we must do something or this will happen again. If you don't punish this severely, others will do it. I don't know if you read, and I see it on the news yesterday, where in Massachusetts, the FBI and the sheriffs and a lot of people have stopped these people in several different cars. It was 11 people arrested that had long guns, in other words, rifles and all types of guns and ammunition. And it took the whole day to root them out of the woods and catch them all. But they said they didn't respect the authority of the United States government. Says they don't recognize that government, that the government of the United States government shouldn't have authority over. All this came from our former president, the way he led the nation and the division he instituted. Now, this just happened yesterday. 11 armed men that was going to some meeting of a group that they belonged to, the Moorish or something or whatever, was saying the United States government is not legal. They don't recognize the United States government. You've seen this on movie and televisions where you have people say, well, they don't recognize the federal government or whatever. So, all of these things Only Christ can root these out. That's why I was telling you the last few times that I was telling you about Leviathan, Jesus Christ has to destroy Leviathan. Because the axe has to be laid to the root of the tree. All of these judgments must come and necessarily will come. Realities within a community do not always follow the patterns that we expect to be fair and just. The reality that's happening on the ground, sometimes we can't see the pattern of what's happening, but we have to realize that God is sovereign, that God is allowing these things to go on. Just like Louisiana last week decriminalized marijuana or whatever, to where for certain amounts you don't have a criminal penalty, you know, it's no criminal penalty. When I texted one of my sons about the Shakara Richardson or whatever, her Olympics banned because she tested positive for marijuana or whatever. I said, you see, these are the beginning of laws and destructuring of laws. We have so much going on in this nation that the Constitution may end up our problem as what it was, Nikita Khrushchev, or one of the Roman Stalin, or one of the Roman Russian people says, we'll bury you with your own Constitution. We know that our former president, he went against a lot of things within that Constitution. Because it's not the Constitution, it has to be the laws of God written on your heart. And that's why we have to realize that we're being judged by a plumb line standard. The standard is Jesus Christ, and anything that don't toe to that plumb line or be judged or washed away, he says the hail of storm. So God may get you through plague or sickness. That's why he was telling them a lot of them would die from sicknesses and plagues and things. But a lot of them was going to die from natural calamities, you know, like earthquakes and things. Just like the building where those people in that apartment complex, that condominium, just have the condominium fail or whatever. But all things, this is the judgment of God coming up on a nation. So we not can't say that, like the people said, well, was Jesus told them about the tower at Siloam had failed. And he says, do you think these were sinners above all people or whatever? He says, no, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we don't fear death because death do have to come at some time or whatever. But with our faith in Jesus Christ and our faith in God, everywhere I go now, and I love to see it, well, they're not requiring masses in all those things because our faith in God gives the Christian an extra shield of liberty. Is that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that no harm could come before us, to us or before our time. And that Jesus Christ is our protector. And that he can keep us. Right? And we've been obedient to the government saying that this vaccine is safe. This is to do or whatever. So when they take that vaccine, my doctor, the other day, my authorized doctor, when he came in, they had his mask on. And he said, you didn't take your shot or whatever? I said, yeah. So he pulled his mask off and everything. He said, well, okay, well, you all right then? We all right. He said, because you just don't know which one of those who hadn't had the shot, he said, but, you know, I know the shot is effective to cover me even if somebody hadn't had the shot. But you can feel safe. So you're not living in it that, well, I might, I hope. See, it's out of your mind. Like, those things you can move. So the things where you've been baptized in Christ have been baptized by Spirit. There's no condemnation to those of us that are what? In Christ Jesus. So things people are saying, no, this is not applying to us. I have eternal life. That's part of the insurance policy. That's the earnest of the that he gives of his Spirit, the assurance to believe in him and to walk by faith. So that's why we maintain good works and we do go around doing good. And I hadn't started on this thing good enough. The wicked are sometimes blessed with long, comfortable lives and wealth and acclaim as benefactors. In other words, a lot of times the rich people look like they're prospered and none of this is happening to them. even though they do wicked, all good things that happen to them. Oh man, I used to learn a whole lot from or whatever. You say, you know, if that was me or you did that, we wouldn't get off with it. Something would happen to us or whatever. We get fired by that. So this would happen. Just like with this last president, any other person, those things that he have done would have, in either one of those particular things would have destroyed him as a leader. But if you notice, none of it is done to him. So we need to look at the strangeness that gets the wicked get off with. We have to see that we can't judge by things happening and not happening to people. That's where faith comes in, walking by faith. In contrast, the righteous are treated unjustly, suffering under the powerful wicked who bear rule over them. The Marine that swore the truth and told the truth, he fired from the job. He fired him from telling the truth. Liz Cheney lost her job in a committee of assignments and things because she told the truth and stood up as a woman. She showed one of the only Republicans in that party, you know, it was several, that told the truth and stood up for the truth, but you get penalized for it. That's what Jesus Christ is looking for. That those that live by faith, that knows sometimes it's a sacrifice to tell the truth, to walk in the truth. You're going to be hated, you're going to be maligned for my sake. And people go, because why? The world is desperately wicked. And if you were of the world, they would love you. But now that you're standing up for right, your own children will talk about you. Your spouse will talk about you. So that's why it says, blessed are you when all these things happening, because you must stand for justice, maintain good works. Don't grow weary of doing good works and doing what is right and having mercy and living that way, even though it looks like the tide's going against you. The persecutors grow stronger in their hatred, while the righteous are punished even lower in the estimation of others. And in the book of Daniel, you'll see where God's holy people, and we're seeing that during this time, are turned over to be punished by the wrongdoer. You think that's bad, Habakkuk? You wait and see. He said, well, why are you going to send a Babylonian that's worse than anybody else to do this to us? He says, it's going to come a time, Habakkuk, where the just will have to learn to live by faith. So though you're doing right, though Job was right and everything, his friends came there and say, Job, you're not right. You're not just. You're doing this. You hadn't gave God his just due. You done treated your employees wrong. Your children ain't no good. And all of these things. Job would say, you're a miserable. That's why I say you will have to know who you believe and trust in. Because people will condemn you and make you feel like you're the outcast and you know you're right. That's why you have to have trust and know who you believe and whom and what you believe. Because the broad way, they'll try to get you off that narrow pathway where you believe. Job's friend had to end up asking Job's pardon, and Job had to pray for him. Solomon is reminding us that occasions rise when a reversal of retribution and reward occurs. These reversals are undoubtedly happening in our nation at this time. So there will be a time when all these things are reversed. Though it looks like it's not paying off, Solomon says, it's know that it's better that if you fear God, walking in that way, that retribution will come. Wisdom is not the answer in every occasion. Cruel, persecuting sinners are being acclaimed and rewarded, while those practicing God's ways are persecuted in the courts and being jailed, heavily fined, and their reputations are destroyed for holding fast in obedience to God's laws. So those things are going to happen. But that's not saying that God won't rectify those problems. It's that God says, vengeance is mine. So he corrects injustices. And when government does that, he allows government enough rope, because once he moved the government, and that's why I say we're at a point now where the nation, or we hadn't been to this point where the nation won't look like the nation anymore. That's why the kingdom of God would come in. That's why I say I think the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to come suddenly rushing in here, because we see that the nation is totally corrupt. There's no help for the nation. There's no turning around. The car is going over the cliff. You have to get out of the car. You have to get out of the car. It's going over the cliff. There's no keeping it on the road. There's no getting the car out of the ditch. So he says, come out of Babylon. Remember, when he sent them first to Babylon, he told them to abide and do what they're supposed to do and work and prosper. And do it. But it came a time when he says, come out of Babylon. So he's calling us spiritually out of the world. Come out of the world. It is no wonder Solomon declares these injustices to be vanity. This situation will produce no good result. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of sons and of the sons of men is fully set to do wrong. Because God does not punish sinners right away, that leaves people seeing people getting off with something, thinking they're getting off. But what God's doing is, see, God's in charge, and you'll start understanding. God's seeing whether corruptness was in you or not. See, because if you see other people get off with something and not you start doing it, you had a bent, you had an inclination toward that in it. I'm glad I found that out about you. That shouldn't have been in you. That's why he removed Enoch out. Enoch was translated. He was removed from where he was. He took him. Like he took Isaiah away when Isaiah felt he was the only one. I mean, Elijah felt he was the only one serving God. God translated Elijah. He moved him to another place, because when you feel that it's no hope and you're the only one or whatever, you're not looking to God, well then sometime God has to move you, and that's when he put Elisha in Elijah's place to do that work. Because if I have a negative way about me, of feeling there's no hope that this thing is going to crash, I'm going to make everybody else fear and feel that way. If I come in here with my problems and my depressions and everything, I can no longer really serve you as a pastor. When I bring your problem, if Jesus would have brought his problems and troubles to Peter and John and them, well, he wouldn't have been doing his job then. See, he had to internalize that and give that to God. That's just like a parent. Don't come crying to your children with your problem there. They go, they don't understand. That's going to make them give up hope. They won't believe in your God if they did. You have to remain strong at that time. You have to remain strong. Be a man for the rest of them. That's why Joab told him, be the man. Be the man. Stand strong. When others around you are abandoning ship, you stay the course. So, the nation, a lot of people through tenacity saying they're going to stay the course with their nature. That's paradoxical what you're saying, because you're saying that we should abandon the nation. Yeah, the reason I'm telling you that is because it's secular. It's like Solomon. It's under the sun. It's been ran its course. Solomon had ran his course. He caused the division of the nation, because wisdom is not always the answer. Sometimes it's just like Mr. Brown used to tell me, it's common sense, it's mule sense, it's what you get from God. Yeah. This ugly truth reveals the depravity of the human heart. Verse 11 confirms that because the governing authorities do not exercise the powers of their office, they tend to encourage the growth both in the intensity of number and of the injustices being committed by evildoers. That's when you're not doing your job. That's why I say a husband has to do his job. A wife has to do his job. You need some water or something? If evil deeds were swiftly punished, human nature would be deterred to some degree. That's why when they were removing the death penalty, that's one thing about this nation. They shouldn't have removed the death penalty. That's why one of the reasons crime is escalating. But this nation can't fairly apply the death penalty, because the nation, the courts and the judges and people, the lawyers, all of them are corrupt, and you have so much injustices in your court system. That's the reason the people are removing the death sentence, because you're finding out how much error it is. It's the courts can be barred by bribery, and there are reasons why goals that you in jail incarcerate groups of people and everything. So the system has to be replaced. The people that's fighting this thing about defund the police, a lot of them are ignorant and don't understand it. The ones that started the movement are saying move funds or translate funds or whatever to where instead of sending a police officer to a mental issue, to a case where a person have mental issues or whatever, that you send a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone that can help the mentally ill. Because if you send a police officer out there, he don't know how to deal with that, so he's going to end up shooting or killing the person. Whereas if you had someone that was trained in that field or that particular thing, mankind hadn't grew up, but it's a religious problem now. The problem is spiritual now. And that's why God has to step in, because Satan has infiltrated the church. His ministers of light his ministers of darkness has transformed themselves into ministers of light. So God has to intervene to condemn sin in the flesh. There's no respect in the churches or anything for the laws and for God himself. This has vanquished. The reality is that because justice is often, where we are here, human nature eagerly follows the path of least resistance. If lawbreaking is not punished, it quickly proceeds to greater numbers and greater intensities. We are living in such a time as that's why it's increasing. Seeing God has not intervened to stop these injustices, people are taking advantage of his forbearance. But God has a time set. As he said, there's a time for all things. Judgment has a time. So during Noah's time, the patience of God suffered during the times of Noah. So that 120 years was a set time. Noah preached for 120 years, but God had that set time to destroy the world. Just like when he told Abraham that his people was going to be captives in a land that they didn't know, but they would return to the promised land, the land God had promised them within 400 some years. Because why? The time of the Hivites, Jebusites, and everybody wasn't full yet. It wasn't time to judge them at that time. With God, we have to look at timing. Now, that's why I was telling you, time is so important with God. So don't be a rush to judgment. Don't rush to judgment. How should we view this? If we're looking at God and looking at Solomon, God clearly states in Exodus 34 and 6 that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We must respond by holding fast in our faith to the loving wisdom by which he always perceived that God's going to take care of this. That God will in his own time, but we have to hold out. Paul writes in Romans 2:4, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but some people take God's kindness for a weakness and a reason not to believe in God. They don't believe in God because of the thing that's going on. So a lot of our children, God continually blessing them materially, and blessing them in certain ways. Now, he might not be abundantly blessing them, but he's blessing them enough to eke out a living so they don't seek God. So sometimes, that's why a lot of times I tell my wife, I tell different people, well, God has to take your son or daughter and knock that pride out. God has to destroy this and destroy that. Because we want our children to be prosperous and successful. But you can raise a prosperous and successful person that's destined for hell and destined for the judgment of God. God wants you to prosper and be in health, but he wants you to be abundantly obedient to him. That's the chief thing, is to learn to obey God. So if we're not maintaining justice and righteousness, and that's what I'm going to talk about next, is righteousness, but we as a people will have to start standing up stronger and not tolerating the injustices, but be being led by the Spirit of God, knowing when to speak against these that's promoting the injustices. Just like Job's friend. Job ended up praying for those friends, but he told them that they was a miserable bunch of comforters, and I think probably his alliance with those friends didn't last after those encounters or whatever. Because now you know what that person is internally. That's why a lot of Christians, and I said this before in Christianity Today or whatever, a lot of them were under the wrong guise or believed wrongly, but they have abandoned a left or Republican party, or they have left from following off our former president because they found out that this is not right. This is not God doing this. So there are people that with the Republican ideology, a conservative way and a conservative thought, just like Joe Scarborough, that are Republicans or whatever, but they left that party because the Republicans tolerated and they conformed to the image of the world. That's why they're looking at it as no longer a party with backbone, a party with standards or whatever. And that's why sometimes you have to come out of certain churches and come out of certain places or whatever. So hopefully this will drive people, a lot of people will come out of the Catholic Church or whatever, because we know the wickedness and the unsound doctrine that a lot of them have or whatever. But when you see divisions and things going about, when that chaos is there, God is in the midst of that because he's calling his people. And the people where the confusion is, God is not the author of it, but in the midst of confusion, he leads his people out. His people are drawn to him. So with injustices of grow, but those injustices invariably push people to God and push people closer to God, because we have to look at it that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. So you didn't even know that God was working to move you away from where you was, but he had to use a wicked ruler, a wicked nation to force you back to where you belong. God chastens his children. He scourges each one that he receives. So if you're mourning and sighing for the nation, he'll bring you to the right spot. But if you're part of the problem, more or less likely you're not mourning and sighing because of the demise of the nation and demise of the morality of the people in the nation. More or less you're conforming to the nation and learning how to play the game and being part of the problem. Heavenly Father, we ask you to grant us an understanding, Lord God, of social injustice, an understanding of how you're working, Lord God, to bring about thy kingdom, Lord God, that this world must, Lord God, answer to you. Our evil and wicked justice system must answer to you, and that you, Lord and God of all, Lord God, and that you expect us to maintain good works and do that which is good, Lord God, and merciful and compassionate and is just, that we be not conformed into the world, that we not love the world, and that our association in the world would be limited, Lord God, to being an evangelist in the world, a pilgrim in the world that stands and remains steadfast and immovable in the faith, that whereby when you come back, you will find those that have faith. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.